This is an application of Armstrong Resources for an order extending the field limits of the Ambrose Field to include all of Section 16, 16399, and establish a spacing unit for the Ambrose Dupro Pool consisting all of said Section 16 and allowing a horizontal well to be drilled on it. All parties interested in this case, please come forward.
Mr. Examiner, my name is John Morrison, P.O. Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota. Hearing this matter on behalf of Armstrong Resources, LLC. Would this be a good time for a five-minute break since my witnesses seem to have disappeared? we could string the lamb down for a half hour if you really want to hear what you're talking about.
Did they take off with Alinko's copies? Or?
Maybe they did. I don't know.
Okay, we'll reconvene in 5 minutes. Which all right, we'll reconvene the hearing. We have the Armstrong case, 7167. Is that going to be combined with 68?
Yes, Mr. Jammer. We have separate exhibits, but we'll have the same witnesses. We'll have to swear or go through their qualifications once.
7168 is the application of Armstrong for an order extending the field limits of the West Ambrose Field to include all Section 23, 163, 100, and establish a spacing unit for the West Ambrose Dupro Pool. Would Alenko's witnesses raise their right hand?
How about Armstrong's witnesses?
Excuse me.
They're all trying to find exhibits still. So.
Armstrong's witnesses.
They got both hands up.
Do all of you promise to tell the truth in these hearings?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, John.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. Mark, will you state your name and provide your business address for the record, please?
Mark Fleginger. I'm president of Cody Oil and Gas Corporation. Our offices are at 1424 West Century Avenue here in Bismarck.
And your occupation is that of a landman, is that correct?
That's correct.
And in that capacity, have you previously testified for this commission as an expert witness and had your qualifications as such accepted?
Yes, I have.
And you're also appearing today on behalf of Armstrong Resources, is that correct?
Correct.
And have you prepared exhibits you intend to sponsor in both cases 7167 and 7168?
I have.
And those exhibits have been prepared either by yourself or your control and supervision, is that right?
That's correct.
Offer the further testimony as witness as an expert.
Motion granted.
Mark, I'll ask you then to turn to exhibit number one in case number 7167, and just tell us what that exhibit is and briefly describe what's shown on the exhibit.
It's a land flat prepared in our office of Section 16 and 16399. As you can see, Armstrong Resources controls 100% of the working interest, and we've also segregated the plat as to common mineral interests. As you can see, the west half is one common area, the northeast is a common area, and also the southeast would be a common mineral owner area.
Okay, I don't have any further questions of this witness. In this case, we will call him back in the exhibits on 7168.
Any questions of the witness from staff?
These are all, they're not tied to any depth. They're all just common.
Pardon?
I said there is no depth restrictions on ownership. It's all common all the way down.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Next witness.
Okay, Jesse, would you state your name and provide your business address for the record, please?
Okay, my name is Jesse Summer. I'm employed by Armstrong Resources, and our address is 518 17th Street in Denver, Colorado.
In what capacity are you employed by Armstrong?
I'm a vice president of geology.
And again, you're a geologist by professional background, is that correct?
That is correct.
And you have previously testified for this commission as an expert in geology, albeit for a separate company at that time, is that correct?
Yes, I have.
And have you also prepared certain geologic exhibits you intend to sponsor in both cases 7167 and 7168?
Yes, I've prepared exhibits two and three.
I'll offer the further testimony of this witness as an expert.
Motion granted.
Okay, Jesse, then I'll ask you to turn to the exhibits in case 7167, and I'll ask you to turn to exhibit two and just briefly describe what's shown on exhibit two for us, please. And if you want in your presentation, why don't you also tell us about exhibit three at the same time, and you can refer back.
Okay, that'd be simplest. Exhibit two is a structure map at a 1-inch = 4,000-foot scale. Structure contours are drawn on the top of the Dupro D3 zone with a 50-foot contour interval. The type log is indicated in the southwest of the southeast of section 14 for Ambrose Field, and that is also on exhibit three. And that log shows the informal zonation that I use for the Dupro formation, and the horizontal objective in the D3 is highlighted on that well. Okay, the structure map shows that there's relatively little structural deformation in this area. Structure consists primarily of just homoclinal dip to the south at less than 1 degree. The triangles indicate vertical wells that have produced from the Dupro D3 zone. And you can see from the map that there appears to be little correlation between any sort of structuring and the location of those producing wells. Also shown on this map is the proposed location for our horizontal well in section 16. I should say at this point this well has not been staked, so it is a tentative surface location. However, our plan is to drill diagonally across the section from the southwest to the northeast with a minimum horizontal lateral of 4,500 feet. Just to give you a brief history of Ambrose Field, it was discovered with the Texas International Bakke well, which is the well that is used for the type log. This well was drilled in 1981 as a Red River test. However, it was dry in the Red River, and based on mud log shows and a positive DST, was completed in the thin zone indicated on the type log for a road. Approximately 2 years passed before this well was even offset, and then there was some minor development of the rest of the field. All development ceased in 1985 due to marginal economics. Okay, I'll be referring primarily to Exhibit 3. Before I move on to Exhibit 3, the other thing I wanted to point out on Exhibit 2 is to the north, there is an area cross-hatched and labeled as porosity saw plug, and I'll refer to that again when we look at the type log. Okay, referring to Exhibit 3, this is a type log of the upper portion of the Dupro formation, again from the Bakke number 1 well. And you can see, again, the zonation that I use. Each one of these zones represents a shoaling upward carbonate cycle. At the top of this carbonate cycle is a porous dolomite that's associated with an algal stromatolite facies. This dolomite is present pretty much throughout the entire area that's shown on the exhibit. Above this dolomite, there's a very thin anhydrite, which provides the top seal. The saw plugging of this porosity to the north provides the up-dip trap for hydrocarbons. As I mentioned, this zone is present throughout the area and varies in thickness from about 2 feet to a maximum of 10 feet. The average thickness, though, is about on the order of 5 feet. Okay, presently the productive limits for the field are undefined, and we feel that it certainly should extend over into section 16. Our rationale for a horizontal well here is for to an individual wellbore to increase the exposure to the reservoir and also to improve the odds of intersecting some of the thicker portions of the porosity.
Okay, Jesse, and you're aware that the request then is to establish a 640-acre spacing unit for the Dupro formation within the Ambrose Field and allow a horizontal well within that spacing, is that correct?
That's correct.
And the current spacing orders define the Dupro as being that accumulation below the base of the Bird Bear and above the top of the Souris River. It's your request that this 640-acre spacing unit cover that entire Dupro zone, is that correct?
That is correct.
Although the D3 is your target, that would give you some additional flexibility if you need it.
That's correct.
And again, it's your opinion that the same common source of supply currently producing from the Ambrose Dupro pool extends under section 16, which you've asked to be included.
That is correct.
I don't have any further questions of the geologic witness in this case. Again, we'll call him back on 7168.
Questions of the witness?
Jesse, will a pilot well be drilled in this case?
Right now, no, our plan is not to drill a pilot well. Again, because there's very little structuring out here and there's reasonable control, we have a fair amount of confidence that we know exactly where the D3 zone will be. If you isopack down from the Nisku formation, it's a relatively constant thickness. So in order to minimize our expenses, we hope to just land right in the D3 without drilling a pilot hole.
And do you plan on setting casing to the porosity?
That's correct.
And completing the well open hole?
That is correct.
And did you say it was your intent to get a minimum of 4,000 feet of lateral?
That is what we are going to try to do. That's correct. Or 4,500 feet.
Okay, thank you.
Jesse, looking at your type log, there's
a lower porosity zone there in the D3 zone. Is that zone productive or non-productive?
That zone is occasionally perforated. However, it only contributes water production. That zone is a microcrystalline dolomitic mudstone, and it's characterized by the much higher gamma ray readings that you see on there, and it has very little permeability, and what permeability is a relative permeability to water.
Thank you.
Any further staff questions? Next witness.
Dean, would you state your name, provide your business address, and tell us why you're employed in what capacity, please?
Dean Brooks. My business address is 6879 East Castilla Circle in Englewood, Colorado, and I'm a consultant petroleum engineer in this particular case for Armstrong Resources.
And you have previously testified for this commission as an expert witness and had your qualifications as such accepted, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you've also prepared exhibits you intend to sponsor in both cases 7167 and 7168, is that right?
That's true.
And those have been prepared either by yourself or your control and supervision?
Yes, sir.
Offer the further testimony. This witness is an expert.
Motion granted.
Dean, I'll ask you then to turn to Exhibit 4 in case 7167 and just briefly summarize the data shown on Exhibit 4, please.
Okay. Exhibit 4 is a summary of the reserves and economics for case number 7167. We evaluated the original oil in place in the area in question using the standard original oil in place formula, where the average porosity in the area is 11%. The average net pay is 5 feet. Water saturation is 20%, and the formation volume factor is 1.3 reservoir barrels of oil per stock tank barrel of oil. It results in original oil in place of 2,626 stock tank barrels of oil per acre. The average well in the area, the average vertical Dupereau well, I should say, has recovered or will ultimately produce 108,000 barrels of oil. The recovery factor for the 160-acre Dupereau vertical wells then is 108,000 barrels of oil divided by 160 acres times 2,626 barrels of oil per acre, which results in a 25.7% recovery factor. A horizontal well bore then with a lateral section with a minimum of 4,500 feet of lateral extension is calculated to drain 468 acres using the circle and tangent method, and would also drain 570 acres if we were able to achieve 6,000 foot of lateral. Therefore, a horizontal well bore with 4,500 feet minimum lateral would result in a recovery of 315,845 stock tank barrels of oil using the equation 468 acres times the 25.7% recovery factor and 2,626 barrels of oil per acre. In comparing a 640-acre Dupereau horizontal well with an existing 160-acre Dupereau vertical well, we have a estimated well cost then for the vertical well of $525,000 and for the horizontal well of $975,000. The initial rate, or the average initial rate in the area there for the 160-acre Dupereau vertical wells, 80 barrels of oil per day, and we project an initial rate for the 640-acre Dupereau horizontal well, 315 barrels of oil per day. The reserves, as mentioned earlier, for the vertical wells are 108,000 barrels per well, and for the horizontal wells projected at 316,000 barrels per well. The oil price we use in this particular case for sweet crude is $11 per barrel for both cases. This results in a payout of 7 years and 9 months for a 160-acre Dupereau vertical well and 2 years for the 640-acre Dupereau horizontal well. The rate of return is negative for the 160-acre vertical well and 22% for the horizontal well. The return on investment is 0.8 to 1 for the Dupereau vertical well and 2 to 1 for the 640-acre Dupereau horizontal well. The present value discounted at 10% then for the 160-acre vertical well is negative at $212,000 and a positive $306,000 for the 640-acre Dupereau horizontal well. These are unrisked economics.
Dean, then, in your opinion, can the Dupereau formation underlying Section 16 be economically developed under current economic conditions through vertical drilling?
No.
But can it be developed through horizontal drilling?
Yes.
And in order to obtain the 4,500 to 6,000 foot of horizontal extension you've used in your calculations, is it necessary to have a 640-acre spacing unit?
Yes, it is.
In your opinion, will the relative rights of all owners within that 640-acre spacing unit be adequately protected by the relief you're asking for?
Yes.
And waste will be prevented, is that correct?
Yes.
I don't have any further questions in case number 7167, and probably have cross-examination complete, and I will offer exhibits in 7167.
Okay. Exhibits received. Any questions from staff?
Are you planning to stay in that top, the forest dormant section?
Yes, we are.
Rather than the whole D3 section?
Right.
Dean, what's your expected decline on this horizontal well?
The decline scenario we used, I believe, was 40% for the first year, 30% for the second year, 20% for the third year, and then 10% for thereafter.
Is there any horizontal Duperow wells that you can compare in Montana?
No.
Okay, so there's really no history on how these wells are going to perform then?
No. The Duperow is pretty unique in this area.
And how did you come up with the 315 barrel of rate for your initial rate?
We have an anticipated GOR here of 800 standard cubic feet per barrel. We also have 38-degree gravity, fairly low viscosity type crude. And typically, in plays like this, what you're going to see is a 3 to 5-fold increase over the average vertical well initial production. We felt like we would get a little better than 3, but probably not quite as good as 4. Again, a lot of that is just experience and intuition.
Okay, and this would be based upon a 4,500-foot lateral?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
In section 15, in the southeast to the northeast in the dry hole, and then in section 14 in the northeast-southwest of that section, we have a dry hole. What did that D3 section look like?
I might pass that question to Jesse Sommer, if that's okay.
Okay. In the well in the southeast to the northeast of section 15, the D3 section was present on the order of about 2 feet in thickness. It did have mudlog shows. However, it was deemed that it would not be, presumably it was deemed that it would not be commercial, though, and pipe was not set. On the well in the southwest of 22, that is the one well out here that has been drilled in the 90s. It was drilled by Ensign Oil and Gas. And it actually had about an 8-foot section in the upper D3 zone. The porosity magnitude wasn't as good as some of the wells in the field. They drill stem tested it and recovered only oil cut mud on the drill stem test, and again, presumably deemed that it would not be an economic venture and did not set pipe. However, the porosity zone was present.
You're talking section 22?
Section 22.
How about 14?
The dry hole, in the southwest of 14? Again, the D3 zone was present, but it was only on the order of about 2 feet thick, and a completion attempt was not made.
Thank you.
Dean, the orientation of your lateral here, is that due to any differences in permeability, or why is it orientated like it is?
Quite frankly, it... because that's the orientation that we've seen predominantly in some other plays in the area. And, again, this is a play where we have a lot to learn, but this is what we'd like to go with initially.
Any further questions of Dean? Anything further, John?
Nothing further in this case.
Okay, we'll go to the next one.
Okay, Mark. Direct your attention to, direct your attention to exhibit number 1 in case number 7168, and again, can you just briefly describe what's shown on that exhibit, please?
Yeah, again, we prepared a land plat of all of section 23. And we're showing Armstrong Resources with 100% of the leasehold working interest. And we've segregated the common interest into three areas, the northwest quarter being one common area, the northeast, another area of common mineral owners, and again, the south half would be common.
Yeah, I don't have any further questions of this witness.
Staff questions?
Mark, have you attempted any voluntary pooling?
Pardon?
Have you attempted any voluntary pooling?
No.
Okay. And are you aware of any objections?
No, we're not aware of any objections.
Okay. Thank you.
Next witness.
Jesse, I'll direct your attention to Exhibit 2 in this packet, and can you identify and briefly discuss Exhibit 2 and Exhibit 3 together again?
Okay, again, Exhibit 2 is a structure map drawn on the top of the D3 zone, and Exhibit 3 is the type log taken from the LLNE Peterson well in the northwest of Section 18. The geology between West Ambrose and Ambrose Fields is very similar, so a lot of what I am going to say is fairly redundant. Referring to Exhibit 2, again, you can see that there's very little structural deformation in the area. Again, homoclinal dip to the south at less than 1 degree. There's a bit of a structural nose on the west side of the plat, but that's unrelated to the production within West Ambrose Field. Again, the area of porosity saw plugging is noted up to the north, and the wells that produce out of the Dupereau D3 zone are noted by the triangles. Okay, referring to Exhibit 3, again, the Peterson well was the discovery well for West Ambrose Field. It was drilled in 1984, again, as a Red River test. It was dry in the Red River and completed in the Dupereau zone, again, based on drill stem test information and mud log shows. It, again, had a modest IP of only 77 barrels a day. You can see in this well, though, however, the D3 zone highlighted at the upper portion of the interval is about 10 feet thick, and this exhibit's about the thickest that this porosity zone ever gets within the area. And again, it is a shoaling upward carbonate cycle, and the porous dolomite at the top is the horizontal objective, overlain by an anhydrite, which forms the top seal, and the salt plugging to the north, which is the up-dip trap. Okay, going back to Exhibit 2, in Section 3, again, 23, again, you see the proposed location. And again, this location has not been staked yet, so it possibly may move some. But the intent is to drill diagonally across the section from the southwest to the northeast with, again, a minimum lateral of about 4,500 feet.
And Jesse, again, in your opinion, is the Dupereau formation underlying Section 23 part of the same common source supply currently producing in West Ambrose Field?
Yes, that is my interpretation.
And again, your request is for a 640-acre spacing unit within West Ambrose Field and including the entire Dupereau formation within the spacing unit. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I don't have any further questions of this witness.
Questions from staff?
Jesse, the well in question is a mile or so away from the current field boundary of the West Ambrose Field. Is it your opinion that all of this area is productive?
Yes, that is my opinion. The porosity zone is present in the well in Section 22, and again, HAD shows it's present in the abandoned producer in Section 19, and it, again, HAD shows.
And in Section 22, what was the thickness that was present there?
It was only about 2 feet thick.
And you said in 25, what is the thickness of that P&A well?
20, you mean 19?
Yeah, excuse me.
The thickness in that well was also about 2 feet.
Okay, and do you know what the cum was on that well?
The one in 19?
Yes.
Okay, that actually produced out of a zone in the lower portion of the Dupereau formation, and it cumed less than 10,000 barrels before it was abandoned.
So the upper 2-foot zone here was not even perforated?
It was not perforated. However, it was cored, and I have a mud log across it and had excellent shows. Again, generally out here when they were vertically developing, if the zone didn't get any more than about 2 feet or so in thickness, they would not set pipe. They would only set pipe on the wells where it was thicker.
The cored interval, did it show that it had good oil saturations?
Yes, it did.
And what is the minimum thickness for your play to be economic?
Again, we've used an average thickness throughout the area of about 5 feet, and that shows that it is, you know, economic, however not, you know, tremendously so. We think we can probably drill within one of those 2-foot zones, and if we can stay in it for the entire lateral, that it should be economic, or that we will intersect some thicker portions of the porosity along that lateral.
The well in section 22, was it water wet?
Did not appear to be.
So you have no indications that you would be below an oil-water contact at this area?
No, and in fact, there's a well in section 35, which is just off this plat, that also had shows that we would be substantially up-dip to.
And what are you suggesting to include in the field if we extend this?
Yeah, I would say, you know, whatever lands, you know, over to section 23, the commission would see fit to.
If we included all of 23 and 24 and the south half of 13, do you believe that all those lands are productive?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Next witness.
Dean, I'll direct your attention to Exhibit 4 in this case, and can you identify and just briefly review what's shown on Exhibit 4, please?
Yes, again, Exhibit 4 is a summary of the reserves and economics for case 7168, and it's identical to those presented in case number 7167, as we use the same basis, all the wells in the area of the two cases here, for calculating an average porosity of 11% and have pay of 5 feet, water saturation of 20%, and a formation volume factor there from Stanley's correlation 1.3 reservoir barrels per stock tank barrel. Again, the original home place is 2,626 stock tank barrels of oil per acre. the recovery factor, as calculated in the previous case, same in this case, 25.7% for a vertical 160-acre drainage area. Horizontal wellbore with a minimum lateral section of 4,500 feet should recover 316,000 stock tank barrels of oil. And comparing the economics of a 160-acre vertical well with a 640-acre horizontal well, we have the same well cost. Well cost would be $525,000 for the vertical well versus $975,000 for the horizontal well. The initial rate for the average vertical well is 80 barrels of oil per day. The initial rate expected for the 640-acre horizontal well is 315 barrels of oil per day. Reserves for the vertical well are 108,000 barrels. Reserves expected for the horizontal well are 316,000. The oil price is $11 for both cases. The payout for the vertical well is 7 years, 9 months, and for the horizontal well will be 2 years. Rate of return is negative for the vertical well and 22% for the horizontal well. The projected return on investment is 0.8 to 1 for the vertical well and 2 to 1 for the horizontal well. And then the present value discounted at 10% for the 160-acre vertical well is negative at $212,000 and it should be a positive $306,000 for a 640-acre horizontal well.
And then again, Dean, it's your opinion that this Dupro pool cannot be developed economically on a vertical basis, but can be economically developed through horizontal drilling. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And in order to get the economics you projected, you need to have a 640-acre space unit to get the necessary length of horizontal well.
That's correct.
And this will protect relative rights, prevent waste from flowing on the necessary wells, and result in adequate efficient drainage of the pool as a whole. Is that right?
Yes.
I don't have any further questions. We would offer exhibits 7168.
Exhibits are received. Any questions of Dean?
Dean, are you near a gas line in this area?
Let's see. There's a gathering system there, and I think it takes them to the midnight field here in this area.
But you have not considered any benefit to connection to a gas line. Do you anticipate that?
Oh, I anticipate that if we get the kind of reserves that we anticipate, that we'll definitely be connecting to a gas line.
So then it would even be more attractive than what you're offering here then?
We've incorporated gas reserves in the economics. Oh, we didn't. Okay, excuse me, we haven't.
You have or have not?
No, we have not.
Okay. Thank you.
Dean, I had just one question. Assuming that, and I would assume that this is a solution gas drive type reservoir, you've got a fairly high recovery factor. Do you have an opinion as to why that is a fairly high recovery factor?
It could very well be that what we're seeing on the logs and the cores is not what's really out there in the reservoir as far as overall net pay, porosity, net hydrocarbon pore volume. What we've estimated is we have an average of 5 foot net pay and the porosity magnitude at 11%. But it could be that the vertical wells are actually what they're draining has better net hydrocarbon pore volume value than what we've estimated here. That would give us a lower recovery efficiency.
Thank you.
Anything further on either of these two cases from anyone? If not, we conclude the hearing. Thank you.